It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventure in Business podcast. This is your host, Amy Zander with CD Media. And of course, I'm here with my lovely co-host, Lisa Fisher. And we are in the same room together. We haven't done this yet when we've been recording our podcast. It's awesome. We're sitting right next to each other. We can see each other. It's great. It's a new adventure for us. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Amy. It is. It's fun to be in the same room. We never do this, but gosh, it's just opening up the world,
right?
Being able to be together.
Yeah. So tell us who we have today.
I am excited to introduce Katrina, and I had the opportunity to meet her through another networking source. And Katrina, what I would like you to do is first, welcome to our show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we love it. We love it. I would like you to be able to share with our listeners. Let's start with who you are. Tell us about yourself.
My name is Katrina Hofstetter. I'm an attorney in the Lansing area. My husband and I have been together for about 21 years, and we have three boys together, 9, 5, and 2. We're very active in our church. We lead a small group, and I'm really excited that I'm finally a soccer mom. Our older two boys are playing spring soccer this year. And it's just been really fun getting immersed in that, you know, getting our family in the world of sport. That's kind of a little bit about me personally. And then, you know, I said I'm an attorney. My firm is Cornerstone Legal. I specialize in estate planning, and then I also do trust and probate administration. I work with clients all over the state of Michigan. I help them to identify what their planning needs are, what their goals are, so that I can design an estate plan that protects their family, protects their assets. I really strive to educate my clients from the very beginning of the relationship so that I can empower them to make the best decisions, and then they can really walk away from the experience truly understanding what they've accomplished. I also, you know, when I do the trust and probate administration, I'm really working with clients during a really difficult time in their life. They've lost someone that they love, and they're facing all of these responsibilities and all of these unknown steps. And I really enjoy being able to step in those times, in those moments, and really help people.
That's awesome. I think that's a really needed thing. And do you find that a lot of people think that they have to have a lot of money or a lot of property, or because it's like this estate? You know, people usually don't think of their home or their life as an estate, and they don't realize that really everybody should have an estate plan, right?
Yeah, it is a common misconception. I get that a lot when people call up, or if I try to reach out to people and encourage them to do estate planning, they think, well, I don't have an estate. I don't have all of this money. And it's really important for people to understand that even though there is a small estate process in Michigan, any amount of money is going to need some type of probate administration. And if you can put together a plan to avoid that, it really saves your family a lot of hardship.
What's an example, without naming names, of one of the scenarios that might have been a little cloudy but turned out to be a win for a family?
What a question that I'm not prepared to answer.
It wasn't on our list. Sorry.
It wasn't on your list. Oh, well, so are you thinking from an estate planning perspective or more from a probate administration perspective?
There are many situations where there's not an estate, there's not a probate, there's not a plan put into place. And I'm sure that makes extra work for you to be able to turn it around so that the family gets what they're supposed to get. Does that make sense?
One of the common practices that I see, and hopefully this will answer your question, many people will try to avoid estate planning by relying on other options, like naming joint owners on accounts or adding beneficiaries. And for the most part, that can work out really well. But what I see quite often is a parent will name one child maybe the oldest or maybe the most responsible. And they will put them on as the joint owner, or they will put them on as the beneficiary with the intention that they're going to handle everything. They're going to use that money for their final expenses, and then they're going to split it up. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. And so I've had a few different situations where I've been brought in either by that person or by another sibling who is feeling like things are not going the way they're supposed to be going. And it can be difficult, but it is really rewarding in the end when you can iron out all of these messy bits and really ensure that the parent's intent is seen through to the end. So I hope that answers your question.
There, ladies and gentlemen, is a nugget of how she educates and empowers
people. Absolutely. I saw something recently on your social media where you were saying that it's another myth is that there's generally not any more like reading of the wills, like we see in movies where the whole family's gathered and shooting daggers at each other and all that stuff. And I just thought that was, I didn't know that. I mean, I have an estate plan and I have a business succession plan and all that stuff, but I didn't know that. I just figured that there was still that dramatic reading of the wills. So talk a little bit about that.
I thought that was a really interesting myth to kind of put out there and set the record straight. In my time before in the legal field, before I was practicing, I never encountered that. We didn't have people who would call up and say, you know, hey, I've got to start administration. How do we schedule the will reading? That just never happened. But I did encounter that recently where someone retained me and they said, oh yes, we had this, we had the will reading, and everyone was so upset in the moment. And I thought, do people really do this? Because it's not required and I've never heard of this happening. So I think that it is definitely something that you see in the movies, and maybe it is something that was more common a few decades ago, but it's really not necessary. The way that probate administration works, everyone's going to get a copy of it anyways. And, you know, if they don't understand it, they can reach out, they can hire their own attorney. But I think that more often than not, you're going to run into some type of a conflict when you get everybody in the room. People change after death, people change, and the unexpected comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a really conducive environment to help that administration be smooth. So.
Okay, but asking for a friend, can you put in your will that you want that to happen if you want to create that drama? I'm just kidding.
I'm sure you probably could.
How did you decide that this is what you wanted to do? Where was that turning point that you knew you wanted to be an attorney and this was the area you wanted to focus on?
Great question, Lisa. Well, you know, when I was younger, I wanted to either be a marine biologist, I'm not sure where that comes from, or an attorney. And then that just kind of, it kind of went away. And after high school, I took my off year, or whatever they're calling it now. And when I finally decided to go back and get my undergrad degree, I actually wanted to do elementary education. So it was never my plan to be an attorney, but I did have a random opportunity to work for an attorney starting in 2006. And so I spent about 13 years working as a legal assistant. He did mostly estate planning, so that was what I was exposed to. And I just slowly grew in that role. I spent more and more time working with clients, and I really loved building those relationships. I was able to see how the work that we were doing changed their lives, whether it was peace of mind that they felt when they finished their estate planning, or the relief or even the closure they felt once the administration was done. I really enjoyed that. And so in 2016, I had just finished up my undergrad at Ferris, and kind of a series of events led me to make the decision to sign up for the LSAT, apply to Cooley, and just see what was going to happen. I was hoping to get a scholarship just because law school is pretty expensive. And I knew I didn't want to be a legal assistant anymore. And I wanted to be able to do more. I wanted to work more closely with the clients on a different level, but I didn't know that I wanted to start my own firm. I actually didn't know that until last spring. So I knew I wanted to practice in estate planning, and I wanted to maybe develop a niche or two that was unrepresented in the area. So I took the bar exam in February. I was sworn in June. And then I spent the month of May just kind of contemplating my options, trying to decide what was the best course of action for my family. And my husband and I just ultimately decided to take a leap of faith, and I started building my practice. I spent all of June developing the firm, everything from spending too much time picking out the name and building the website from scratch, branding myself, creating all of my documents. And then I launched in July as a fully virtual law practice.
Wow. Congratulations. And if that wasn't exciting enough, what are you excited about in the future? What do you have coming up that excites you?
Honestly, it really doesn't have anything to do with the firm. So my husband and I decided that we wanted to plan a trip to Disney for the boys later this year. Our whole family has sacrificed so much over the last 6 years. While I was in law school, I still worked full time. So that was just a lot. It was a big strain on the family. And then studying for the bar exam, starting the practice. And I feel like the boys missed out on a lot of opportunities. So we wanted to do something special. We've been saving up, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing that joy on their faces when they experience the magic.
I love it. I love it. That is so cool. Disney's great. Have you ever taken your kids to Disney?
We did. We took our kids there when they were 9 and 6, I think, or 9 and 7. And it was fun. It was a good age. So it was fun. We went the week before Thanksgiving, which we were told was the best time to go. And nobody was there. It was so nice. It wasn't hot. I think the longest we stood in line was like 5 minutes for a ride. Wow. It was perfect. Yeah. So side note.
So what do you want to accomplish this year?
Well, I kind of have two goals for the year. One of them is I really want to grow the practice enough that I can hire at least a part-time legal assistant. And I'm close now, but my husband and I are focusing on kind of prioritizing some personal financial goals. So we're taking that one step at a time. And then I also, last year, I started a probate and estate planning certificate program through ICL. It's the Institute of Continuing Legal Education. And it's been a really good refresher for me, just, you know, kind of to fill in the gaps in areas where I didn't have as much knowledge or information. And I really want to complete that by the end of the year, just to kind of get that off of my plate and just feel really secure in the knowledge that I have.
I love to hear that you are, you know, have those financial goals, those personal and business financial goals. I think that's really, really important. And that's something I learned a couple years after I started my business, of course. I mean, my first goal was just start the business, make some money, get my name out there. Mm-hmm. And I realized that if you don't have those goals written down and you're looking at them all the time and attaining to them, changing them, assessing them, then they're far less likely to happen. That's good. That's something I learned a little bit later in my business career life. So it's good that'll happen if you've got the goals, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So you started this business this year. What are some obstacles that you had to overcome?
Well, I think that I have spent a lot of time reassessing things, decisions that I made early on, even minute details, like how I want to brand myself on social media. So I think that one of the obstacles that I've faced is really myself. So just changing my mind about different things. Maybe I saw something that someone else posted or something that someone shared, maybe learning about a process that someone has done, and just really wanting to continue to tweak and hone the things that I'm doing. And so I think that that's one obstacle, but I think that's kind of a normal thing when you start up a business. You're gonna see what works and see what doesn't work. And I think the way that that's been an obstacle for me is just time. You know, I just recently let go of my safety net of my other full-time job. And so time has been a big valuable thing in my life lately. And every time I decide to change something or modify my business in some way, it does kind of feel like an obstacle because I just didn't have the time to do it. Beyond that, though, the other big obstacle was probably the bar exam, and that was just brutal.
Yeah, no way around that, right?
No, there isn't. And honestly, you know, I kind of have a horror story. If you'd love to hear about my experience, it was February of last year. So it was during COVID. They were still doing the bar exam remotely. And because our oldest was still doing remote school, he was home and I couldn't take the bar exam at home when there's kids here. So I arranged to reserve a study room at the law school library. And the first day of the exam, the motion sensor lights would not stay on. Yeah. And so I spent all day trying to stay in my seat because it's video proctored. And I had to stay in my seat, but wildly, frantically waving my hands, trying to get the lights to come back on every 20 minutes. And so I spent the whole day stressing about the lights. And then for day two, I was lucky enough to have a professor, a friend of mine, who invited me over to her home so I could set up in her spare room. But then in the middle of the morning, a landscaping company set up outside the front of her house with a wood chipper, and they were like trimming trees and cleaning up. And so then day two, it was all multiple choice. And I just constantly had the roar outside of the window. And I was in complete shock when I got my results and saw how well I had actually done, because I walked away from that 100% convinced that I had failed. And that's probably the biggest obstacle that I've had to overcome.
All right. But we now know that Cornerstone Legal can, you know, deliver under pressure and just not get rattled and still comes through in the end, right? So absolutely, that's awesome. Yes. That's a huge testament to you. Yes. Lessons learned.
So awesome.
We can work through wood chippers.
Yes.
I was on a Zoom call not too long ago in an office with those motion sensor lights, and all of a sudden it's all dark. I'm like, great. When you start thinking about you recently walked away from your job so that you could pursue your passion, your business, your career. As you were doing that, was there ever anything that had you doubting what you're doing?
No. I think it's easy to have lapses in faith, maybe. I don't know that I would call them doubts, but anytime you take a leap like this, you cut your safety net and it's all riding on you. I think it's really easy to have worries, to have concerns, maybe some lack of confidence will come along with that. But I have never had doubts that this was the direction that I was supposed to take. And the reason I say that is because, you know, my husband and I spent probably the entire month of May. After I got my results, we spent the entire month of May just trying to decide what I was going to do. And I applied for a couple of jobs. I interviewed for a job. I was offered a job and turned it down because it just didn't feel right. And so we put a lot into trying to decide if starting my practice was the right choice. And after everything that's happened over the last 8-9 months, there just can't be any doubt. But it still is terrifying to cut that safety net and make that leap.
Now that you've done that and you're out branding yourself and building your business, where do people find you?
Ironically, the biggest source of leads, referrals, it's coming from online, from Facebook, which is, I did not expect that. Part of it is just the professional connections that I've made have been they originated either on LinkedIn or Facebook. And so that's where a lot of communication happens. But there's some really great networking groups out there. I mean, Lisa, I think that's where you and I met. I'm pretty sure that's where Amy and I met as well. And those groups, they're huge in supporting not just women, but supporting businesses, small businesses, and making those connections has been invaluable. And honestly, I would say that the Facebook groups that I'm part of have probably been the main source, not necessarily my personal Facebook page. Right. So I just did not expect that at all.
That's fantastic. And I will do a little plug here for the Lansing area. You know, most of the people that we talk to on our show are from the mid-Michigan area. And I agree. I network a lot and Lisa does too. And it is an amazing support system, Lansing. So shout out to all the Lansing networking groups. They're really helpful and they're amazing. And I haven't owned a business in another town, so I don't know how other towns do it, but I really appreciate how we do it here. And if you're listening right now and you're thinking about how you can get the word out about your business, please reach out to us at our podcast or any of the guests that we've had on here, because we've met almost all of them through our networking groups, and we can point you in the right direction to which networking groups might work for you. So, you know, reach out.
Very nice. Very nice. So Katrina, we're going to talk a little bit about advice, right? Sometimes when we're trying to open our own businesses, even some of our raving fans, AKA parents, are not quite supportive of what we're doing yet. And sometimes we get some pretty lousy advice. Was there ever a time that you really received some not so favorable advice about opening your own practice?
I had a hard time thinking about this. I can't think of any bad advice that I received.
That's good. You know,
but maybe, you know, I did act on some advice and it just hasn't gone south yet. But no, I feel like I've mainly gotten really good advice. I honestly can't pinpoint some bad advice I've received.
Yeah, that's good. So tell us about some good advice you got.
I'm not quite sure how to articulate this. So I was talking to a friend of mine. Can I name drop her?
Sure. That's the whole point of the show. Seriously, okay. Plugging.
So it's Katie Crick from Cedar River Insurance.
Yeah.
And we got connected. I'm pretty sure it was through LinkedIn. And we had our first meeting over Zoom. So we weren't even together like you two are. And it was the very first time we had met over Zoom. And she did not hesitate to dish out some really good advice for me. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but you know, I was touching on how I was building my practice and establishing myself in the community. I mentioned that I was joining professional networking groups and just really going all out with social media, paid advertising, just trying a little bit of everything, trying to figure out what was going to work for me and what was going to impact others the most. And I commented on how hard it had been to know when to pause, when to take a moment and just breathe and say, okay, I've done enough. I'm doing enough. I don't have to keep pushing the limits. And she recommended a book. It's called The Big Enough Company. And it's all about assessing my values, thinking about what motivated me to start my business, to become an entrepreneur, and really give myself the freedom or the permission to work on my terms so that I'm making my firm what it needs to be, making my firm work for me instead of me working for my firm. And so I immediately ordered the book on Amazon. I've been reading through it. It's really great. It showcases the experiences of so many other female entrepreneurs and what they tried, what worked, what failed. And it's been a really good, I guess, guidepost for comparing things that I've done, that I've tried, and teaching myself that I don't have to do everything.
Amen. Right? Whew, that's hard. That's hard as a business owner. I struggle with that too, especially in marketing, because there's so many things you can do with marketing. And it's like, have I done enough? Did I do it all? What else could I do? How can I say this in a different way?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to get that book.
It's really good.
Nice.
Great advice, Ms. Katie Crick. So what do you have that's currently frustrating you? Is there anything that you have that's frustrating you right now?
Not necessarily related to the business and the work that I'm doing, but being in this transition period, quitting my other job, I knew that it was going to take some time to adjust and not work nights and weekends, give that time back to my family. And so that transition period has been a little bit frustrating, just feeling like I don't have enough hours in my day to do everything that I want to do or that I need to do. I'm sure you guys have experienced this. I'm sure everyone has experienced this, but It's definitely frustrating for me when I have a plan for the day, especially if it's a Monday. Oh my gosh. If a plan for the day, whether it's scheduled with clients or I'm going to work on the business, whatever it is. And that one little thing comes up and it just derails everything. And so that has happened a few times and it just feels like it sets me back by a week instead of just the day. And that's probably what's really frustrating me now is when that's happening during this transition time and I just feel like I can't catch up.
Yeah, I know a thing or two about that for sure. Or try to take a vacation. That's fun to come back to and then have to catch up from, right?
As a working wife, mother, with young people at home, what advice would you give somebody else in your situation about starting a business?
Oh, great question. You know, I think the first thing that comes to mind is actually from someone else. I had a networking group this morning that I met with, and the one thing that one of my girlfriends reminded me about is that I have to know my worth. And I think that as a working professional, mom, wife, all of that, you can't just set one of those things aside. You have to look at it as a whole package, big picture. I have to remember what I'm worth and I have to remember what's important. And I think that that's something that's really hard for people to do. It's hard for me to do. And so if there's other women in my situation out there who are wives and moms and they're thinking about starting a business, you've got to just be really careful about setting a precedent, whether it's the type of clients that you take on or the type of work that you're going to do or the schedule that you decide on. You've really got to set a good foundation for that from the beginning, because I feel like I am backpedaling a little bit and I have to remind myself, what are my motivations? Why am I doing this? What is my worth? Because it's really, unfortunately, it's really easy to just think, oh, it'll just be today. You know, my family will be okay. I'll catch up with them this weekend. And that it's a bad cycle to get into. So I think that that would be probably the advice that I would give for anybody else in my situation.
I love that. That is, I really hope our listeners like pause and rewind that and listen to that again, because I think so many times women, I've said this before, are expected to have a business like they don't have a family and a family like they don't have a business. And honestly, like, when's the last time somebody said to a man, "Hey, George, how do you do it all? How do you balance it all?" You know, but they're so surprised when women can do that. And I think that that's not talked about enough. And you can't do both of those things, like the other thing isn't going on for sure. And one of the things that's helped me is to basically train my clients as to when it is and isn't appropriate to contact me. Right. So fool ourselves. I work a lot of hours, but my basic communication hours are normal 9 to 5 business hours. I'm not answering texts that come to you from 11 o'clock in the night or responding to an email that happens on the weekend or anything like that. Because if you do it once, then they think you can do it all the time. And I actually just had a conversation with one of my clients on Monday. He sent me like 20 emails over the weekend and I ignored them. And then on Monday, I was like, by the way, he's like, no, I didn't expect you to answer them. If I don't send them, I'm going to forget. And I'm like, hey, that's cool. Just so you don't expect me to reply until Monday. So that's really good advice for you to put out there. And for all of us women and men, I'm not trying to say anything about the men too, but it's a different expectation we have as women for sure.
Yeah.
You've mentioned your husband a couple of times in terms of deciding what you were going to do. How valuable is it having that support system at home?
I don't even know how to quantify that. I couldn't do this without him. He is so supportive of what I'm doing. He's so interested in what I'm doing. He wants to be my sounding board and help me to design things, you know, if I'm working on something marketing related, he enjoys being a part of that. And I think, you know, I could do it without that, but it's not as enjoyable. You know, it would feel hard to not have that support there. And I think that it has helped us to grow closer, especially with the craziness of our schedules, to be able to connect over that and not feel as lonely as a solo practitioner. You know, you're by yourself. There's not, I don't have a cubicle next to me. I don't have someone to bounce ideas off of and talk to in those moments where you might just shoot the breeze and talk about the news. So it has been really refreshing to have him want to be involved and want to support and encourage me. And it's also really great when there's just not enough time to get something done. And I know that he wants to step in and help, even if it's just run into the post office. You know, I really can't quantify how important it is and how much it has meant to me to have him here.
I would agree. My husband is also a business owner and he's very supportive of what I do. We don't mix business, right? He's got his, I got mine, but yeah, it is having that support at home. And so listeners, I encourage you, if you do not have a support system, mm-hmm. I encourage you to find one, whether it's through girlfriends, other women businesses owners, or other male business owners, but just find that support system. It's tough out there. It's tough, you know, yes. When you're competing against other people and you're wanting to build your business and run a family and do all the right things. So awesome.
Yeah. I'll give a shout out to my husband because if I don't say anything, it sounds like I don't care. He's not supportive, but he is. He definitely is. We also don't mix business. We did actually run two different businesses together and then, you know, we went kind of our own ways work-wise and we're definitely better not working together, but he absolutely supports me. But I would say, you know, adding to what Lisa just said is, regardless of the support that you do or you don't have at home, I think it is important as a business owner to have support of other business owners because it is, yes. We are a different breed and we deal with different kinds of things. And it is really nice to have perspective of other people that own businesses because they will understand things that nobody else will understand. Absolutely. another gold nugget there for all of our listeners. We're full of them today. Wow. It's what happens when you get a lawyer on here.
Katrina, is there anything that we've not asked you that you would like to share with the listeners?
This is something that not a lot of people know about me, but I'm really proud of it. So I'm actually I'm a published author. During law school, I took a scholarly writing course. And at the time, I had just given birth to our youngest. I actually have two law school babies. So I was pregnant with our middle child when I started law school and then had another one toward the end. And that experience with our youngest was very different from our first pregnancy. I had so much more support and that postpartum period was just night and day compared to the first one. And so one of the things that really struck me during that time was just the lack of paid maternity leave in the US. And so when I was thinking about ideas for a paper for that class, I decided to start looking into what other countries are doing around the world and how they are supporting new mothers and babies. And I was fortunate enough at the time to work for a company that did offer paid maternity leave. But that's not the norm. That is not what happens really. And so I ultimately wrote a paper about it. I proposed a solution to this problem in the form of a federally funded program, kind of like FMLA eligibility requirements, but an employee payroll tax deduction. It's what other states are doing. At the time, I think that there were 8 other states in the US that were doing a similar program. And they all found success with that. So I wrote the paper. It felt so great. It was very personal to me. And my professor urged me to submit it for publication. So I did. I was able to get it published in the Cooley Journal of Practical and Clinical Law. It was in the issue for December of 2020. So it's just really exciting, kind of this little nugget about me that most people don't know.
That's exciting. Congratulations, because that is a big issue. And you know, now we have people that are taking paternity leave as well as maternity leave. And more employers are offering less and less benefits. And especially if you work for a smaller company, it's not always in the budget. So there are a lot of issues around that. Thank you for sharing and writing about that.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, tell our listeners how to find you. What's your website address? Who are you on Facebook? All that good stuff.
Yeah, sure. So the firm is Cornerstone Legal. My website address is just cornerstonelegalpllc.com. I've got a lot of really great information and resources. And then I'm on Facebook also as Cornerstone Legal. Same thing on Instagram. A lot of that content is the same. And then you can just find me, Katrina Hofstetter, on LinkedIn. And that's where I'm at. That's where you can find me.
Unless you're at the soccer field, right?
Yes, you can find me at the soccer field.
Or Disney World soon.
Yes.
Yeah. For all our listeners, of course, we will have the links to all that stuff in the show notes for this episode, so you can find it there. Katrina, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for being on our show. I got a new book to read. I've learned some other cool legal stuff, and this has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. We really enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you again in some of the networking opportunities out there. And I encourage you all to listen to what Katrina has to share or to read what she has to share on her Facebook page and to meet with her and get to know her and see how she can bring valuable services to you and your family.
Thank you so much for going on an adventure with us on Adventures in Business podcast. We release new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. You can find it at zediamedia.com under Connect or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, and we highly encourage you to be one, you can also go to zediamedia.com, click Connect, find our podcast, and there is a link to sign up for a spot to be on our show. Thanks again. Go out and have a great day and have a great adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's Zeediamedia.com and sign up.